Hey, good to vach, everybody. Thank you for coming to learn this evening. Today's daf is Psachim Daf Tzadi Ches. We left off at the Mishnah on the bottom of Tzadi Zayin Amud Beis. Today's shir is sponsored by Dr. David Lander in honor of his wife and children. Also anonymously Lila Nishmas Rabbi Kelmer Zatzal, and also by Stephen Honig for the first yard site of his father Bill Honig Zev Ben Chaim Yehuda, whose yard site is today. The Neshama Shav and Aliyah. We thank all of the sponsors very much for the sponsorship. So this is the last full daf of the ninth parak of Maseches Pesachim as we gear up to start Arvei Pesachim in advance of the Yom Tov of Pesach. And we're going to have several Mishnayos on today's daf. The first Mishnah is going to talk about the halacha when somebody designates the wrong type of animal for a Korban Pesach. The halacha is that it has to be a Zachar Ben Shana, a male one-year-old animal. And what happens if a person designates a female animal as a Korban Pesach or a two-year-old animal as a Korban Pesach? And the Gemara is going to comment on what that halacha teaches us about the principle of dichui. And then the Mishnah is going to talk about what to do with the Korban Pesach of a man who has died. And the Gemara gives five approaches as to when we distinguish between cases where the son is also registered and cases where the son is not registered. Meaning, if a man dies before he has the opportunity to be makriv his Korban Pesach, so can the son bring that Korban Pesach in his place? Can the son use it for his own Korban Pesach? So we're going to say it depends whether the son is registered or not registered, but we're going to have to try to figure out when exactly this man died that these halachos would apply, and we're going to have five different approaches. Then the next Mishnah is going to talk about a Korban Pesach that gets mixed with other karbanos, and it's going to discuss how it may be different if a Korban Pesach gets mixed with, let's say, an Ola and the Anasham on the one hand, versus a Korban Pesach that gets mixed with Bechoros. Bechoros may be entirely different. And then the last Mishnah on the Daf, which is indeed the last Mishnah in the Perek, is going to discuss various permutations of a case of a lost Korban Pesach, and cases where karbanos Pesach belonging to different groups got mixed up with each other. So how do they navigate such a situation to make sure that everybody is yotze the mitzvah of Korban Pesach with a Pesach that they are in fact registered on? So let's begin at the Mishnah on the bottom of Tzadi Zayin Amud Beis. Says the Mishnah, Hamafresh Nikeva Lepischo. If a person is mafresh a female for a Korban Pesach, the pasuk says explicitly that it's got to be Setamim Zachar Ben Shana Yielachem. The pasuk says, so if one is mafresh a Nikeva, so for a Korban Pesach, Zachar ben Shteishan, and where he gets the right gender but the wrong age, he's mafresh a male carbon, a male animal for the carbon, but it's a two-year-old animal. It's supposed to be a ben shana, so the animal that he designated is in fact not ra'ui for Korban Pesach. So the halacha is yira at sheyistoyev, let it graze until it develops a mum v'yimacher, and then he can sell it, and the animal will become chulin. It will be used as a regular chulin animal v'yipludam av l'nedav l'shlamim, and the money that he gets from the proceeds of that sale will go to be shalmei nedava. He can't bring the animal itself as a Korban Shlamim. He needs to wait till it develops a mum and sell it, because since it was hufrash for the sake of a Korban Pesach, so we assume there's a kviyas shame Korban Pesach on that animal, and it's not right for a Korban Pesach, so it's nidche. It's something that's rejected from Hakrava, so even though it was rejected at the very outset, it has a halacha of a Korban that was nikva v'nidche. It's as if it was originally established as a Korban and then rejected as a Korban, where the halacha is that that animal is always nidche. That animal is never going to be able to be used for any type of Korban, not even for a Korban Shlamim. Separate case, says the Mishnah, Mafresh Pischa v'me. A person is mafresh Korban Pesach, and then he dies before he has the opportunity to bring the Korban Pesach. So lo yivienu b'no achrav l'shem Pesach. His son cannot use that as his Korban Pesach. If, let's say, the son is, the Gemara is going to explain, the son is not registered on that Korban, so he had nothing to do with that Korban until his father died. So he's not allowed to bring that as his Korban Pesach, because the Korban Pesach can only be shechted for those who are registered for the menuyin on the Korban. And this Korban doesn't have any owners. It doesn't have any menuyin, because the only person that was manui in the Korban has just passed away. Elul l'shem shlamim. So what should the son do with the animal? He yarshins his father, so he brings it as a Korban shlamim instead of bringing it as a Korban Pesach. So says the Gemara, on the first halacha of the Mishnah, where the Mishnah spoke about someone who's mafresh an animal that is not rotwi to use as a carbon pesach in a keva, a ben shtei shanim. So the Gemara comments that the halacha that we learned in the Mishnah tells us several things about the principle of dichoy. The principle of dichoy is that once something is disqualified as a carbon, it remains disqualified even when the reason for the disqualification is gone. Even if there's some reason why it should be qualified again, it remains disqualified. So says the Gemara, we see three things about the principle of dichui. Amar Rav Huna b'Rei Rabbi Yeshua, Shema Mina Tlas. From our Mishnah, we see three halachos about the principle of dichui. Number one, Shema Mina Balei Chayim Nidchin. We see that a behema, even while it's alive, could already be subject to dichui, that it's permanently disqualified, even though at some later time it's going to be ra'ui for what it was originally designated. You cannot use it. You have to let it graze till it develops a mum, and then you're going to sell it. Well, how do we see that from our Mishnah? Because the animal that you designated for the Korban Pesach and then became nidche while it was alive, because it wasn't ra'oi to use as a Karban Pesach, it was 2 years old, it was a female, even though when you were originally designated, it was ra'oi to use as a Karban Shlamim, because it could have been a Mosara Pesach, you could use it as Karban Shlamim, and right now it's ra'oi to use as a Karban Shlamim, but since it was nidche from being a Karban Pesach, which was what you originally designated it for, it remains dachoi li'olam, it remains rejected forever. Second principle about dichoi that we see from our Mishnah, Ushma mina dichoi meikara havi dichoi. That in order to apply the principle of dichoy, the item never had to have been ra'oi to begin with. It could have been dachoy from the very outset, that such as this case where you were mafresh for a carbon pesach, something that never could have been a carbon pesach. A female animal simply cannot be a carbon pesach, so it's dachoy me'ikara. We have in a number of places in Shas that there is such a shita that dichoy only applies when it's near of a nitche. That if something was ra'oi once and then was rejected, that's a much stronger form of rejection than something that never made it into the parsha in the first place. I remember teaching the sugya Maseches Sukkah to high school boys, and sometimes what's a good mashal for high school boys is a good mashal for adults also. So the mashal that I gave about Nira V'Nidche versus Dachli Meikara was that there was a boy that had just transferred into the school in the middle of the year, and he was a superstar at basketball. He was an unbelievable basketball player. He transferred in after tryouts, after they made all the cuts, and somehow they let him on the team. They let him on. Now, what would happen if a boy would get cut and would not make the team, and then would practice a lot and go to the gym and work out a lot, and in the middle of the year he deserves to be on the team? Would they put him on? They would never put him on the team, because if you were eligible and then rejected, you can't just come back in. But if you were never eligible in the first place, you were in a different school, and then you come in for the first time, so then you're going to be ra'oi. That's going to be that rejection is not nearly as strong of a rejection. So dichoy meikar is not as strong as nira v'nidcha. Okay, if the mashal works for you, it does. If it doesn't, it doesn't. But the point is that dichoy meikara is a bigger chiddush that it would be dichoy than nira v'nidcha. Nira v'nidcha is to actively take that which is ra'oi and say no, it's no longer ra'oi. It's not going to be ra'oi. So that's a more permanent kind, naturally more permanent kind of rejection. But the chiddush we see from our Mishnah is that dichoy meikara is called dichoy as well. And the third thing we see is Shemamina Yesh Dichoy Bedamim. We also see that even something that only has Kedushas Damim, it doesn't have Kedushas Aguf, it's not inherently Kodesh, it's only holy with regard to its monetary value, that even such a thing will have a principle of Dichoy. Why does the animal in our Mishnah not have Kedushas Aguf? Because you tried to be Makdish as a Karban Pesach, and it never could have been a Karban Pesach. It was not Ra'oi to be a Karban Pesach. So it must be that your Makdish should only for its value. And since it's not Roy for the Akrava that it was Huktash for, it's Nidche forever. Even after Pesach, it cannot be brought as a Karban Shlamim. We would not treat it like Mosara Pesach, which is brought as a Karban Shlamim. So this is the principle of Dichoy, and these are the three Halachos about Dichoy that we derive from here. Now, there is a question of exactly how far the principle of Dichoy goes. Certainly it applies to Karbanos. Does it apply to other areas of Halacha? Would we say Dichoy by mitzvos? If a person were, let's say, unable to perform a mitzvah, do we say that's it? that he's dachoy from that mitzvah. So there is a bit of a stretch that the shoel in the Avnei Nezer, there's a tshuva in the Avnei Nezer in Or Chaim Sim Kufchav Gimel, where the shoel was trying to work out why it is that poskim have a suffix in the following situation. Let's say a person eats a meal, fills himself up on Erev Rosh Chodesh, or on Erev Yom Tov, and then it comes Rosh Chodesh, or it comes Yom Tov, and he has to bench. He's full, he's satiated, and he needs to bench. So does he say Yalla V'Yavo in benching? He didn't eat a thing on Rosh Chodesh. Everything he ate was Erev Rosh Chodesh. So poskim are mesupak about it. So the Shoal in the Avnei Nezer says, what's to be mesupak? The halach is V'Yachalta V'Savata U'V'Erachta, that the Mechayiv of Birchas HaMazon is Sviya, is to be satiated. It's Yantav right now, or it's, let's say, Rosh Chodesh right now. He's satiated right now. Why wouldn't he say Yalla V'Yavo? So the Shoal wanted to suggest that it's based on Dichui, that since at the time that he ate, he was not Chayiv and Askaras Shabbos Yom Tov in Birchas HaMazon, and saying Yalla V'Yavo in Birchas HaMazon, so he's Nidche from the Chiyuv of the Askara of Yalla V'Yavo, of mentioning Yalla V'Yavo in benching. So maybe that's the principle of Dichui at work with regard to the mitzvah of Birchas HaMazon. So the Avnei Nezer, for his part, said that that is ridiculous, that Dichui does not apply to such a halacha at all. Dichui is a din that you have by karbanos, maybe you'll have by a cheftza shel mitzvah sometimes, but not something that you're going to apply to a person's chiyuv in how to do a mitzvah. Okay, so then the Mishnah went on to say, HaMafrish Pischa, we said that if a person was mafrish the Karban Pesach, and he dies, so his son cannot bring the animal instead as a Karban Pesach, the son has to bring it as a Karban Shlamim. So the Braisa elaborates that this is really telling me two separate dinim. Tana Rabbanan, Mafresh Pischa V'Meis, Im B'no Memuna Imo Yivyanu L'Shem Pesach. What the Mishnah did not mention is that the halacha is that if a person designates a Karban Pesach and dies, but his son was included as one of the registrants on his Karban Pesach, then the son is allowed to bring that as a Karban Pesach, because the Karban Pesach is not left without a Bailim. There's still an owner of the Karban Pesach, the son. He's one of the owners of the Karban Pesach. He's still there. So he could bring it L'Shem Karban Pesach. But Im B'no Memuna Imo, if the son is not registered on the Karban Pesach, it belonged exclusively to the father, and now the father is no longer alive, Yivienu L'shem Shlamim L'shisha Asar. Then the son is going to have to bring it as a Karban Shlamim on the first day of Chol HaMoed. He's not allowed to bring it on Yom Tov itself, certainly cannot bring it as a Karban Pesach, because it's a Karban Pesach that doesn't have any owner anymore. The son is not the owner of the Karban, so the son is going to have to bring it as a Shalmei Nedava on Chol HaMoed. So says the Gemara, L'shisha Asar In, L'chamisha Asar Lo. Wow, he's allowed to bring it on the first day of Chol HaMoed, but not even on the first day of Yom Tov. So we must be working with the assumption that you're not allowed to bring Nedarmu Nedavos on Yom Tov, and that's why since this is a voluntary karban, so he's not allowed to bring it on Yom Tov. Some of the Acharim suggest, well, why isn't he Yotzei his mitzvah Shalmei Simcha with it? Let him bring it on Tesvav and use it for Shalmei Simcha. So maybe you see from there that you're not allowed to use someone else's animal that you just inherited for Shalmei Simcha, that it has to dafka be Nedarmu Nedavos, that he can't be Yotzei his chiyuv with the carbon that he inherited for whatever reason. But anyway, so that's the halacha that the Braisa tells us, that there are really two dinim over here. Din number one, if the son is registered on the carbon together with the father and then the father dies, son can bring it as a Karban Pesach, no problem. Din number two, if the son were not registered, then the son cannot bring it as a Karban Pesach, he has to bring it as a Karban Shlamim on the first day of Chol HaMoed. So says Gemara, well, wait a second. What is the case that we're describing over here? Meaning, what happened? Demisha av emas. When did the father die, that both of these halachas are going to be true? And that's the key over here. The reason we quote the Braisa first, before we ask this question, is because this question is only a question once we have two halachas. The Mishnah only mentioned one halacha, but the Braisa tells us two halachas. That if the son is registered, he can bring it as Karban Pesach. If the son is not registered, he can't bring it as Karban Pesach. When did the father die, that both of these halachas will be true? If the father died before Chatzos, which is the beginning of Chatzos is the earliest time to shech the Karban Pesach, so the father died before the Karban Pesach ever even could have been shechted. So b'no memuna imo yivienu l'shem Pesach. How can we say that if the son is registered on the Karban Pesach, he's allowed to bring it as a Karban Pesach? He's an onain. He's an onain. You're not allowed to shech the Karban Pesach for an onain, meaning before the chiv Karban Pesach ever set in, he was already an onain. So if he was an onain before he ever had a chiv of Karban Pesach, he can't bring it as a Karban Pesach. It's a very inopportune time, obviously, for his father to die in Erev Yom Tov. It's a very tragic and difficult thing, but he's not allowed to bring it. That's the halacha of an onain. We learned back on Daf Tzadi Amud Beis that you're not allowed to shech the Karban Pesach for an onain if he's the only one that's registered on the karban. So Ella must be, the only way that halacha makes sense is demis achar chatzos, is if the father died after chatzos. Because if the father died after chatzos, then it's true the son is still an onain, but his chiyuv for karban pesach came before his aninus. And since the iser to shecht for an onain is only a din midrabanan, why is it only a din midrabanan? Because by the time the night comes and it's time to eat the karban, he's not going to be an onain anymore. Aninus laila is the rabanan. Aninus yom is the oraisa. And an onain on a daraisa level is only not allowed to eat kachim. There's nothing wrong with being makriv on his behalf. But midrabanan, we're afraid to shecht on behalf of an onain because he might become tame to the mace. We're afraid he's going to become tame. But if his chiyuv of karban pesach came before the aninus, so then we're going to do the karban pesach for the onain, and he'll be able to eat that night. So it must be that the father died after chatzos. But now the problem is the other halacha doesn't work. Ein benom emunimo yuvianu l'shem shlamim. If the son was not registered on the Karban Pesach, we said, okay, so bring it as a Karban Shlamim, hakavate chatzos. Why would the son have to bring it as a Karban Shlamim? By chatzos, the chiyuv of akravas Pesach was already hukva on the Karban. As soon as chatzos hit, this Karban was labeled Karban Pesach, and I understand you can't bring it as a Karban Pesach, but that's what we call dichoy. It should be rejected, and therefore should not be able to. It should be exactly like the case in our Mishnah, where you were mafresh in a keva. You have something that was rejected from being a carbon, that was hukva as a Pesach and rejected as a Pesach, and therefore it should not be brought at all, not as a shlamim nor as a Pesach. So that the second halacha doesn't make sense if the father died after chatzos. So the Gemara is going to have five approaches that have had to resolve this problem. Meaning, if the father died before chatzos, we have a problem of why it is that the son would bring it as a Pesach. If the father died after chatzos, we have a problem why an unregistered son would be able to bring it as a Karban Shlamim. So answers Gemara, answer number one. Amar Rav Eliolam Demis Kodem Chatzos. The father really died before chatzos. And Umay Yivyenu L'Shem Pesach. If the father died before chatzos, how can you say that if the son is registered, he could bring it as a Karban Pesach? He's an onain. You can't bring it as a Karban Pesach. L'shem Pesach Sheni. You're right, you can't bring it that day. Keep the animal around and use it for Pesach Sheni. Right? We have to deal with all these cases. People die 365 days a year, meaning it's not always an opportune time that someone dies. So in the stomach, there are going to be people that die in Erev Pesach. So normally it's not the big, I don't mean to say not the biggest deal, but normally there's not such an issue, meaning in terms of Karban Pesach. If you have five people registered on Karban Pesach and one of them dies, so the other four use that Karban Pesach. There's nothing wrong with the Karban Pesach. It doesn't fall apart. But this is a unique case where only the father, or only the father and son are the ones registered on the karban. So in a case where only the father and son are registered on the karban, and the father dies before chatzos, so that immediately puts the son into aninus, and if it puts the son into aninus, there's nothing you could do. I got a shaila yesterday. Nebuch, yesterday I got a shaila from a Rav in a different community where he said that he had a levaya yesterday, and the family got back from the levaya at like 3 or 4 in the afternoon, right before Shabbos. So he wanted to know, is the family obligated in the mitzvah sayom of Purim? And the answer is yes, meaning they had like an hour and a half where they were able to do, where they were mechuyev to do Mikra Megillah, Matanos Avyonim, Mishloach Manos, Su'udas Purim. Can you imagine such a day? So people don't always die at opportune times, you know, it's a very big, to my mind, I think the most challenging of them is probably Su'udas Purim. No, because you got to have a Su'udas Havra. I got to imagine, I didn't look it up, but Su'udas Havra probably cannot be your Su'udas Purim. The Su'udas Havra is the exact opposite of a Su'udas Purim. It's an entirely different you don't have any fancy foods, and you don't have it's very minimalist, and it has to come from other people, and you know you have these. That's a very great challenge. But over here also you have a case: a guy dies on Erev Pesach, so we have to figure out what the halach is. So that's answer number one. So again, Rava's answer is the father died before chatzos, son brings it not as a Karban Pesach on Erev Pesach, but as Pesach Sheni, and that solves the problem. Abaye says no, there are two separate cases being described. These two halachos in the Braisa are litzdad and katani. They're talking about two different cases. Meis acher chatzos and beno mamuna imo. If the father dies after chatzos and the son is registered, if you have lishon pesach, good, then you bring it as karm pesach because his chiyuv of karm pesach set in before his aninus set in. But meis kodem chatzos, if the father dies before chatzos and ein beno mamuna imo, and the son is not registered, then yivyanu lishom shlamim. Then we'll bring it as a karm shlam. In a chinami, if the son were registered, that would be a different story when it's meis kodem chatzos. But the case is, the father died before chatzos and the son is not registered, so then he's able to bring it as a karban shlamim. So according to Abaye's reading, the Bryce is not really thorough. It's not exhaustive because it doesn't say what would happen if the father dies after chatzos and the son is not registered, nor does it say what would happen if the father dies before chatzos and the son is registered. So what taka would the halacha be in those cases? So if the father died after chatzos and the son is not registered, then it would have to be left to graze. You'd have to sell it, etc. But if he dies before chatzos and the son is registered, then it would have to be brought as a Pesach Sheni. But according to Abaye, the Brice is simply not talking about that case. Says the Gemara Vaiter now. So that's the second answer. That's Abaye's answer. Rav Shravya Amar, a third answer. Liolam demis liarcha chatzos. Really, the case is he died and the father died after chatzos. Ugon shaya aviv gosis b'chatzos. Ah, but wait a second. If he died after chatzos, this carbon should be rejected because it was already hukva l'shem Pesach at chatzos, and now it became possible because the father died, so you should not be able to bring it as a carbon shlamim. No, the case is it was never hukva as a Pesach. How was it not hukva as a Pesach? Because the father was a goses at chatzos. So since rov goses im lemisa, we assume most of the time that a person is a goses, he's going to die, so we already use that as predictive of his future at the time that chatzos comes, and therefore we do not give it a kvius of a shame Pesach. So if the son were registered together with the father, chatzos is kovea, the carbon as a carbon Pesach, on account of the son, because the son's not a goses. So then the son could bring it as his own carbon Pesach, and even though he's an onain, his chiyuv of carbon came before his aninu, so he's allowed to bring it. But if the son was not registered on the carbon, so even though it can't be brought l'shem Pesach, because the owner, the only owner of the carbon died, but it's not possible to be a carbon shlamim, because at chatzos, the father wasn't chayiv in Pesach, he was a goses. So the carbon never had a kviyus shem Pesach, and therefore was never nidche from Hakrava. So you don't have to apply the principle of dichoy. That's the issue of goses. Goses applies to a number of areas of halacha, and it's one of the most challenging hagdaros in halacha to actually make, to define. What exactly is a goses? At what stage is a person a goses? Most of the time, poskim and doctors will tell you. After a person dies, they'll be able to tell you, yeah, right before that, he was a goses. But while it's happening, it's almost impossible to tell when a person is a goses, and there are halachas. You're not allowed to touch a goses, because you might be makrivus misaso. A kohen is not allowed to be in a room with a goses. So there are halachos that relate to goses. But it's a very, very difficult hagdara to make, to determine when exactly a person is a goses. But for whatever reason, the Gemara says, okay, let's say we knew this guy was a goses at chatzos, so then it was not hukva l'shem Pesach. Answer number four, Ravash yomer liolam demis liach chatzos. Case is the father died after chatzos. He was not a goses at chatzos, but he died after chatzos. V'rabbi Shimon he damarein balechayim nidchin. Ah, why wasn't it hutcha? After all, at chatzos, it was hukva l'shem Pesach. So shouldn't we apply the principle of dichoy and say that the son's not allowed to bring it as a shlamim if he were not registered on this carbon? No, because we're assuming, like the shita of Rabbi Shimon and Maseches Yuma, that balechayim are not nidcha, that a live animal is not nidcha. And then the final answer, Ravina Amar, Ravina explains that it could even be according to the shita that balei chayim are nidcha. And over here we're talking about kon shefrishu achar chatzos u mesu bailim achar chatzos. Not only did the father die after chatzos, the father first designated this animal as a korban after chatzos had already passed. Meaning, this idea that it becomes hukva as a korban Pesach at chatzos, is that a din in the moment of chatzos? That at that moment it's hukva as a korban Pesach? Or do we say, no, the whole afternoon is kosher to bring a korban Pesach, so any time during the afternoon, it's hukva as a korban Pesach. I would have said the second way. I would have said if the whole afternoon is kosher to bring Karban Pesach, whenever you designate something as a Karban Pesach, at a time that's kosher to bring Karban Pesach, it is hukva as a Karban Pesach. That's what I would have said. But the Gemara is saying, Ravina is saying the opposite. Ravina is saying, no, it's the moment of Chatzos that's Kovei Hashem Pesach. So if the guy managed to bypass that moment, how did he manage to bypass that moment? He didn't designate the Karban at that moment. He only designated the Karban after Chatzos. So if he only designated the Karban after Chatzos, it never was hukva as a Karban Pesach, and therefore you don't have the dichoy. It was never nidche from being a Karban Pesach, and that's why the son is allowed to bring it as a Karban Shlamim later on. Because Savra Chatzos Kava, we're assuming that Chatzos is the Kovea, that Chatzos is the determinant. That's the halacha. Now, this idea that if the son is an onein, we kept referencing that if the son is an onein, then the halacha is he's not allowed to bring the carbon. So we had that back on Daf Tzadi Eben Beis, that they shecht the carbon Pesach on someone who becomes an onein in Erev Pesach in order for him to be able to eat that night, but he's not allowed to be mishaleach carbonosav. He's not allowed to send his carbonos. So we see any carbonos that he brings, because the pasuk says shlomim carbono. So we darshin that kushuhu shalim. He's shaleach karbonosav. Only when he's shalem, and when he's an onein, he's not considered to be shalem. Now the we would normally think of aninus as something that's a clear hagdara in halacha, that regardless of how a person feels emotionally, aninus is a description of someone whose relative died that day, and that's just an onein, no matter what. I remember a few months ago, I was asked. Shaila, there was a rav from a different community where there was a couple that had been divorced for 20 years, or so everyone thought. The couple hadn't lived together for 20 years. Neither of them had any interest in getting remarried. The woman moved to a different city. They lived in different cities. And they never bothered with the get. They never actually made their divorce official because it didn't matter. They weren't getting remarried anyway. So for 20 years, they lived. He hadn't spoken to her in over a decade. And then the woman dropped dead. So now the husband, who everyone thought was the ex-husband, wants to know whether he has to observe avelus for his wife. So I thought right away, what do you mean? Of course he has to. Meaning if she's his wife, whether he likes her or not, whether they've been together or not, she's his wife. So I remember I asked Rav Shechter, I said, I'll ask Rav Shechter, because I know it's a heartbreaking case. It's a hard thing to tell a guy. So I'll ask Rav Shechter. Rav Shechter said, no, isn't that the Marsham and the Yom Shel Shlomo that you don't have to? I didn't know the Marsham, I didn't know the Yom Shel Shlomo. So why not? What's it based on? So there's a Marsham who was asked about a Maisa where it was Gzeres HaMalchus that any women, it's unbelievable, that any women who were single were not allowed to live within a certain vicinity of the border of the country. Whether they wanted to make sure that there were men there to help defend the country, I don't know what the circumstances were, but there's a Tshuvas Marsham in Chelik Beis, Simin Ches, women who were single were banished from living within whatever, 50 miles of the border of the country. So there were all these almanos that were going to have to move, that were going to have to sell their houses. So someone came up with a great chap. They're going to find a bunch of old men who have no interest in getting remarried, and who are single, and they'll be Mesadir Chuppah V'Kiddushin with these old men. They never have to move in with each other, but they'll have a rabbi certify that they're married now, and then the women will be allowed to stay in their houses. Great idea. Thing is, if you get a bunch of old men to marry women, eventually old men will, eventually they die, and then the women are going to be stuck with avelus for a man that they met once under a chuppah. So the Marsham was asked whether they have to observe avelus, and he paskin no, he quotes the Yom Shel Shlomo in the second parak of Gittin, of a case of a guy who's nasanein of Lagarsha, who decided to divorce his wife. So the halacha is that there's machlokas tanoim whether she's considered his wife with regard to Yerusha, and with regard to Avelus, we say halachak divrei amekel ba'avel, and since he's nasanein of Lagarsha, we view it as if he already divorced her, and there's a ptur from Avelus. That's what the Marsham quotes from the Yom Shel Shlomo. So he says that, and in this case, says even those who disagree with the Marshal over here, then for sure you don't have to be misabel, because there was a ein libo shel zu, dava alze, they never had any emotional attachment to each other. So even though they're considered, she's an Eish HaSush, l'kol dinei HaTorah, and if the Bailim or Kohanim, should they be allowed to eat Truma, but in Avelus, you're not Mesabel, because Avelus has something to do with a relationship. And if the relationship wasn't there, then there is no Avelus, at least for Allah Kedivrei Megel. So Rav Zilberstein, Chashukei Chemet over here says, I wonder what the Halacha would be as far as Karbanos, as far as being Makar of Karban, if you have such a situation. So he said, Pashtos is, if there's no Avelus, then there's not going to be Aninos either. So, and the Halacha would be that they'd be allowed to bring a Karban. Rav Zilberstein discusses that Shaila. Anyway, so new Mishnah now. Says the Mishnah on the bottom of the page of Tzadi Chesam Ralph. HaPesach Shinesari Bezvachim. Let's say you have a Karban Pesach that gets mixed in with other types of Karbanos. You have an Ola, an Asham, a Pesach, and they're all mixed together. Kulan Yirat Sheistavu. So all of them should graze until they develop a mum, v'yimachru, and then you sell them. Now, the halacha about these karbanos, what makes this a challenging situation is that a Pesach, an Ola, and an Asham do not have the same time frame within which to eat it. And not only that, the hakrava is done differently for all of these karbanos. An ola requires smicha and nisachim, and you do you put the blood on the mizbech, shtayim shein arba, on two corners of the mizbech that hits all four sides of the mizbech, and an ola doesn't get eaten at all. An asham requires smicha, does not require nisachim, also gets matan shtayim shein dalid, and it's nechal kohanim. And a Pesach does not require smicha, does not require nesachim. The matan dam is just connected to yisod hamizbeach. It's just on the wall of the mizbeach, not shtayim shein dalid, and it's eaten by anyone who's registered on it. Kohanim, Yisraelim, it doesn't matter. So they have very different halachos. So what do you do if you can't identify which is which? I don't know which is the ola, which is the asham, which is the Pesach. So kulin yirach yistav, you let them all graze until they develop a mum, v'yamachra, and then you sell them. V'yavi b'dmei yafesh ben, min zev, b'dmei yafesh ben, min zev, v'yafesh ben, most of the base. So take whatever, let's say you got $100 for one of these animals, $125 for a second one, and $150 for the third one. Buy three new animals each for $150. Ah, you're going to be out $75? Yeah, out of pocket. That's going to be your loss on this. Because you're going to bring a new Pesach, a new Asham, a new Ola. You're going to have to assume that the most expensive one was the one was each carbon that you're replacing. So you're going to have to take the buy the most expensive carbon for all of these. Nisariv b'becharos, but if it gets mixed in with a Bechar, that's a different story. Because the way your Makrav Pesach and the way your Makrav Bechar is exactly the same. The only thing that's different is the Achila of the Bechar and the Achila of a Pesach. Karban Pesach could be eaten by anyone who's registered on the Karban Pesach, and only that night of the Seder, and even then, Machlokas Tanayim, whether it's only until Chatzos or all night, whereas a Bechar is eaten by Kohanim l'shnei yamim v'layla echad. It's eaten by Kohanim only, but it's eaten that day, that night, and the next day. So now, it's brought the same way, the Achila is different. So Rabbi Shimon Omer, im chaburas Kohanim, if it happens to be that you have a chabura of Kohanim that were registered on the Karban Pesach, so all the people that were registered anyway would be allowed to eat it if it was a Bechar, yochelu, so good, let them eat it, let the chabura of Kohanim eat it, eat both Karbanos, they'll eat, they don't know which one is which, but they're perfectly viable, they're perfectly kosher to eat whichever one they want, and to eat both of them, because they're allowed to eat a Bechar, and they're certainly allowed to eat a Karban Pesach that they're registered on. So that's Rabbi Shimon's suggestion. But you're not going to be able to eat it for as long, because a Bechar should have been able to be eaten for 2 days, and now you're only going to be able to eat it that night and only until Chatzos. Yeah, Rabbi Shimon is willing to sacrifice that. So ask the Gemara, but for Kamaisi Kachem Lebeis Apsul, I thought it's a big deal that you're bringing Kachem Lebeis Apsul, that you're going to say after Chatzos of that night, whatever doesn't get eaten, that's it. It cannot be eaten anymore, and we're going to passel whatever extra meat is left over. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Shimon, Letamei, Damar Mevin, Kachem Lebeis Apsul. Rabbi Shimon has no problem with bringing Kachem, I shouldn't say no problem, but given the circumstances, he thinks you're allowed to be Mevi Kachem Lebeis Apsul. It's a Mishnah, Mesech HaZvachim, Asham Shenesariv B'Shlamim. If you have a carbon Asham that gets mixed up with a carbon Shlamim, Rabbi Shimon Omer, Yishchatu B'Tzafon. So what's the difference between an Asham and a Shlamim? An Asham is Kachem, Shlamim is Kachem Kalim. So the halach is that a Kachem Kalim has to be shechted in the Azara. Kachem has to be shechted also in the Azara, but only in the northern part of the Azara. Kachim Kalim can be shechted anywhere in the Azara. I assume they're usually shechted in the southern part of the Azara because all the Kachim Kachim Karbanos were taken up the north of the Azara. But you could shecht Kachim Kalim wherever in the Azara. So good, if you don't know if this is a Shlamim or an Asham, just shecht it where it's good for both of them. Shecht it Betzafon, shecht it in the north of the Azara, the northern half of the Azara, like a Karban Asham, v'yeachlu k'chomer Shaban, and give it all the Chumras of the Karban Asham, meaning only allow Kohanim to eat it, only allow it to be eaten inside the Azara, only allowed to be eaten for 1 day and 1 night, like an Asham, and not like a Shlamim, which could be eaten for 2 days and 1 night. Just give it all of the Chumras. So Amrulo, so the Chacham said back to Rabbi Shimon, how could you do that? You're going to make a kach impossible because you're going to stop eating it after 1 day and 1 night, when really a Shlamim is allowed to be eaten for longer because you're worried that this might be, in fact, an Asham. And according to the Rabbanan, what should you do when a Pesach gets mixed up with Bechoros? Legabe an Asham that gets mixed up with a Karban Shlamim, or a Pesach that gets mixed up with an Ola or an Asham. So you could say, let it graze and develop a Mum and sell it, whatever. A Bechor, you can't do that, because by a Bechor, the Torah tells us explicitly, lo tifteh, you're not allowed to redeem a Bechor for money. It has no pidyon. Even if you try, it doesn't work. The money does not become kadosh, the behema does not lose its kedusha when you try to be poda. So what happens if a Bechor develops a mum? So come on, I eat it. That's it. But there's no pidyon. So what are you going to do? So amarava namtino achiyumu, you wait until it develops a mum, v'yavi behema shmena, and then you bring a very fat, delicious animal and be mechallel the Korban Pesach on the money with the value of these of the better of the two animals, v'leima, and say kol heicha diise lePesach tochel aleidahai, whichever one is my Korban Pesach, the kedusha of that Korban Pesach should be chal on this money, and then use that money to buy a nice fat animal and bring that as a Korban Shlamim, just like a Pesach that's left over after the hakrava, after this man hakrava. Mosar haPesach is brought as a Shlamim va'achaluhu, and you eat both of these behemos b'taras b'chor balmum as just the way you would a Bechor Balmum, which doesn't get sold in the open markets, and it doesn't get sold by weight, because you have to treat it with dignity, that's deserving of an animal that had Kedusha, and that way the Bechor that gets mixed up has the same din as a Bechor Balmum, and the Pesach in the Taroves is redeemed and is brought as a Korban Shlamim properly according to the Shita of the Rabbanan. Okay, now we're up to the last Mishnah in the Perek. So says the Mishnah, we're not going to get to the Gemara today because the Mishnah brings us almost to the bottom of the page. Says the Mishnah, Chabura Shavat Pischa. If you have a Chabura of people that lost their Korban Pesach, so Vamrulecha, they instruct one member of the Chabura, Tseyva Keshu Shchot Aleinu, go look for our Korban, and when you find it, shecht it for us. So they appoint him as a Shliach, that when he finds it and shechts it, he's doing it on behalf of all of them. Vahalachu Matzav Shachat, he went, he was successful, he found it, and he shechted it for everybody. But in the meantime, they gave up on him. Vehem Lachu Veshachtu, they took another animal just in case this guy doesn't come back, and they shechted another animal unbeknownst to him, unbeknownst to the guy that was sent out to look for it. So im shalo nishchat rishon, if he shechted the one that he found first, so hu ochel mishalo, he could certainly eat that. That's his Korban Pesach, his one and only Korban Pesach. He had no shaychus to what they were bringing because he was totally unaware of it. Vehem ochel nimo mishalo, but they also participate with his Korban Pesach, because if his came first, they were still registered on his Korban Pesach, on the one that he found. Vim shalahen nishchad rishon, if their Korban Pesach was shechted first, heim ochlin shalahen, well then that's their Korban Pesach. But v'hu ochl mishalo, but it's not his Korban Pesach, he is connected with the Korban Pesach that he brought. Vim eni yodu eizmen nishchad rishon o shechted shem kechad, if you don't know which one was brought first, or they were shechted at the same time, hu ochl mishalo v'heim einam ochlin mimo, then he can eat his Korban Pesach, but they cannot partake of that one, because it could be that they brought theirs before his. And their Korban Pesach they also can't partake of, because it could be that his was brought first, and therefore nobody could partake of their Korban Pesach, so it has to go out the Beis HaSreifa, but they're not going to have to bring a Pesach Sheni, even though the whole rest of the group didn't eat Pesach Rishon in this case. But Achila is not Ma'akev being Yotzei the Chiyuv of Korban Pesach, so they're not going to have to bring a Pesach Sheni. Amar Lehen, what if the case is different? The this one fellow who's going out to find it tells the rest of the chabura, "Imecharti, if I'm late, tzu'u v'shachatu alai. Go and shacht it for me. I want you to shacht another animal, a replacement for me." So now he's aware that they're taking another animal and that they're going to do it for him. Halach umatzav v'shachat, but then he went and he found the animal and he shachted without them realizing that he's shachting for all of them. Vehein lachu v'shachtu, and they took a replacement animal and shachted it on his behalf. So im shalah nishchat rishon, if their animal was shechted first, heinoch mishalah, they could certainly eat that because that's their one and only Karban Pesach. V'ochel imanin, he could eat with them because it was shechted first, so that's his Karban Pesach also. V'im shalah nishchat rishon, if his was shechted first, hu ochel mishalah, he can eat from it because it's his Karban Pesach, but v'heinoch mishalah, they're not going to eat from his Karban Pesach because they were unaware that he was even trying to shecht that Karban Pesach. They're going to eat from the one they brought. V'meni yadua ezemen nishchat rishon, if you don't know which one was shechted first, or they both shechted at the same time, then hein ochlin mishalahen, then they eat from the carbon that they brought, vuhu eino ochel iman, but he cannot eat with them, because maybe he shechted his first, and therefore he's not included on their carbon Pesach. V'shalo yetzil beis ha-sreifa, and the one that he shechted, nobody's allowed to eat from. He can't eat from it, because maybe theirs was shechted first, and therefore that's his real carbon Pesach, not the one that he shechted, and they can't eat from it, because they had no sheichus to the one that he was shechting. Upat milas is Pesach sheni, but he's not going to have to bring a Pesach sheni, because he was already Yotze with Pesach Rishon. It's just that he couldn't eat the Pesach Rishon. Next case, Amrlan v'Amrlab. If everyone was aware of what everybody else was doing, right? You go find it, and if you find it, shecht it for us. Okay, and if I don't find it, you shecht for me. So everybody's got everybody else appointed to bring Karban Pesach. Ochlin kulan min Rishon. Then everyone could eat from whichever one was shechted first. Remain Yodei is min Ishcha Rishon, Shein Yotzeh Beis Shreifa. But if you don't know which one is the first, then they both get burnt. Lo Amrlan v'lo Amrlab. If nobody told anybody to do things on their behalf, then Einachron Zelazed. Then they're working in two separate orbits, and each one just eats their own carbon. They don't have to answer to each other. Now a new set of halachos. If you have two groups of people registered on separate Karbanos Pesach, and then the animals got confused for each other, they got mixed with each other, and you can't identify which animal belongs to which group. So Eilu Moshchan Lanechad Veilu Moshchan Lanechad. First thing you do is each group grabs a random animal, right? One of these two animals. Then they do a trade in the groups. If let's say I have five people in group A, five people in group B, they trade one of the people from group A to group B, and vice versa. Kachim omrim, and they say as follows: Im shalanu hu haPesach hazeh. The four originals in this group say to the new fellow in their group, "Look, if the animal that we took, if we got lucky, we grabbed the animal that was in fact ours, yadechu meshuchas mishalcha v'nim nesal shalanu. Then you should disassociate with the animal that was originally yours." And instead associate with ours. V'im shalchahu haPesach hazeh, if the animal we grabbed was one you were originally associated with, then yadeinu meshuchas mishalanu v'nimneinu al shalcha. Then we are disassociating with our original animal, and we are instead joining together with you. V'chein chamish chaburo shal chamish chamisha v'shal asara asara. And the same is true if you have five groups of people with five people in each group, and all five karbanos got mixed in with each other, so everyone just grabbed one, and then you reshuffle the groups to the point that each group will contain one member of each of the original groups, and you can make the same deal that whoever's it is, that's the one that's the owner, and everybody else is Moshech Yudehem from their original animals. Or it could be 10 groups of 10 people. The numbers don't really matter as long as you make sure that each new group has a representative from each of the original groups. Moshech and Echad, they do the same thing. They take one person from each of the original groups, and they make that same deal. If you have two people, Reuven and Shimon, their Karbanos Pesach get mixed with each other, but there's no one else registering. It's just Reuven and just Shimon. So Zemo Shechlo Echad, Zemo Shechlo Echad. So Reuven grabs one animal, Shimon grabs another animal. But they may have grabbed the wrong ones, right? So, and they can't just disassociate with the animal, because if they disassociate with it, it's going to be without any bailim, and you're not allowed to leave a Karban Pesach without any bailim. So what they do is is Zemimani Imo Echad Minashuk. Reuven goes and he finds someone else to join him. He brings Levi along with him, to join in with his Korban Pesach. Vizemimani Imo Echad Minashuk. And Shimon finds Yehuda to join with him on his Korban Pesach. And turns out that now Reuven and Levi are registered on one Korban Pesach, whichever one it is. They can't identify which one it is, but one of them. And Shimon and Yehuda are registered on the other animal. Again, they can't identify which animal it is, but they know that they're in the same they're in the same grouping. So Zeh ba etzel Zeh. Then Reuven goes to the Pesach, the Korban Pesach that Shimon had taken, and together with Yehuda, v'zeh ba etzel Zeh. And Shimon goes to where Levi is, v'kachem omrim, and they say the same deal. Im shalihu Pesach Zeh. If this animal that's right here is my Korban Pesach, yadachem mishuchus mishalcha, then you should disassociate with the one that was originally yours, v'nim nesal shali, and join together with me. V'im shalchahu pesach zeh, and if this animal right here is the one that you're associated with, then yadai mishuchus mishali v'nim nesal shalcha, then I am disassociated with my original one, and I am instead going to be together with you. Meaning they have to draft in some other people to join, so that when they do the shifting, they're not leaving the Korban Pesach without any bailim, and therefore they could make sure that by the time they're marked with the Korban Pesach, they have the right grouping on the right animal. Okay, Baruch Hashem, we'll pick up at the Braisa on the bottom of Tzadik Chasam and Beis tomorrow. Good tovach, everyone, and thank you again so much for coming out to learn tonight.